First one is a Meshech Chachma. Meshech Chachma is going on the Pasuk Viskaleach. Viskaleach, if you look inside the Chumash, inside the Torah, Viskaleach, the Gimel is actually large. It's a Gimel Rabasu. So what's Pshat? So Meshech Chachma says that Sheshlosh Lavin Nidchen B'Taglachas Seyar Zekano. When it comes to the Isser of cutting the beard and the different corners of the beard, there's an Isser Deraisa, of course, but the three examples in the Torah where you're allowed to actually cut and violate that Isser. That's why Viskalech is a large gimel. What are the three? So it's a mission in Negayim. It says one is this week's parsha, Metzora. Metzora is allowed to cut his beard and hair also to violate the Peos Rosh for Taras. The other one is a Nazir. Nazir cuts his hair afterwards. And the third, anyone know the third example? It cuts. Not the Kohen Gadol. He gets a haircut every day, but it doesn't cut everything.
No.
The Levi. A Levi, when he, at least one time event in Parshas Baalos, when Levim became Kedushas Levi, also that's connected tonight to Hasidus Shashir, so they had Kedushas Levi, so they cut all the hair on the entire body. That's the third example where they're able to violate that lav, so that's why the gimel, the large gimel, is Viskalech. When I first heard this idea a few years ago, I had a kash from Eishes Shifas Torah as well. She also cuts the hair, at least on the head, but of course Eishes Shifas Torah is a woman, it's not shaykh to these different Yisurim. Okay, the next number two is the Chavetz Chaim. The Chavetz Chaim, of course, his favorite topic is Lashon Hara, so he has a lot to say here in Parshas Tazria Metzora. So he asks the question, we know that the Seyar Lavan, the white hair, is a Simen Tumah. That's an indicator of there being Tumah. So Madua, I'm just reading the underlines, Madua Kishakula Hafach Lavan Tahu. Doesn't make any sense. If a little bit of white is a Simen Tumah, so if the entire body is full of the Tzaras, that should Kavachomer be Tameh. So he says, the whole idea, of course, we know is ad kama mituavas lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu midas ha-gaiva. How terrible is the gaiva? V'ad kama ratzon lefanav yisparach shema midas hachna v'hanava. And how great, how much does HaKadosh Baruch Hu love the midah of anivas, the midah of humility? So that's the whole idea. When a person sins, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to humble them by giving them punishments. So what's the idea of a mitzora? So the last paragraph he writes, Onesh ha-mitzora badad yashav michutz l'machan. He's supposed to sit by himself all alone. Why? V'yishivaso levado ve'ein ishimo. He's supposed to sit all by himself, no one sitting next to him. T'v'yeyu lidei hirhur tshuva al cheto ha-gadol. In order to bring about here tshuva, he sits by himself. He's like, what am I doing here by myself? He's trying to be mahar and tshuva. Ulevavo yachne, and his heart's going to be humbled. V'shev v'rape, he's going to do tshuva and be healed. Ulam, all this is l'chol zeh zaka kamitzora be'esha dain lohafach kol b'sara l'tzeras. There's only true if his entire skin didn't turn to tzeras. Rak nira ha-negazir, he's a little spot here, a tiny little spot here. Why? Why only when he's a small spot? Because a dain yachol amitzor lachshav, he could still think and justify to himself, ulai mikrahu bilti tar, I'm probably really tar, it's probably just like a little something bothering me, he doesn't really take it seriously, v'chabi livo, he's going to be very stubborn, v'lo yashem mecheto. So what do we do? To really tell the guy, you are tameh, you need to do tshuva. So then we say, hishluach via yeshiva, the sending away, and the sitting bebedidus, all by yourself, b'tzeiruf ha-tzeras, along with the tzeras ha-chalakas that's on his body, letaro mechato, it's trying to remind him that he needs to go through tshuva. That's only when there's a small negat tzeras. Aval, says the Chavetz Chaim, michevan shepashasa ha-tzeras b'chol gufo. If he's completely enveloped with his negat tzeras, v'kisiso mekaf raglo ad rosha, from his heel to his head, then kvar nishbar libo b'kibro ad kidekach. There's no running away. There's no justifying that you're tahor. Your whole body's full of tzeras. He's already broken. He's already humbled. Shekvar eino zakek l'shlach. We don't need to send him and add further punishment to him. Adam shekazeh shelaka b'chol gufo kvar lo yachshav alai mikruh. He doesn't think anymore. This is just a happenstance. V'nichnech le'akadosh baruch hu. So that's why he's tahor. When you experience full tzeras, you already are broken and you already consider tar. You don't need any of the process of making yourself tar. So that's the explanation according to the Chavetz Chaim. Ksav Sofer number 3 has an interesting idea here. The Pasuk tells us that Isha kisazriya v'yalda zachar v'tumah shivas yamim. So what's a connection, smichas of tazriya b'yom hashmini l'isha kisazriya? What's a connection of tazriya and the whole discussion of Isha kisazriya in the 8th day? So he explains, Isha Mazras Tchila, we know the Gemara tells us, if an Isha's Mazras Tchila, so then you'll let the Zachar, it's opposite. the woman's mazriah is first, and there's a son. Isha mazriah tchila. If the man is mazriah first, then you'll have this nekeva. There's this inverse relationship with father, daughter, mother, son. So yesh kama mitzvos, he explains, is what's the idea behind this? There are many mitzvos she'ena isha mitzuva alev. There are many mitzvos that we know women can't do. The yesh mitzvos she'shaicha b'isha v'lo b'isha. And there are many mitzvos that men can't do that women can. Some examples, kimo the safra law, that women have to count zayin nikim when she's a zava, and men don't have that mitzvah. The karban yulah, this v'kadome. So there are some mitzvahs that are unique to men, and then there are other mitzvahs that are unique to women. V'nei habanim, the habanos, mazachia lavoseha aydei maaseyim. The children are now mezakeh their parents in certain mitzvahs. V'yesh la'avos zuchos b'maasei tata'ehem. And the parents have a certain zechus in all the mitzvahs that their children are doing. Now he explains, v'hayaratza lizakos liyisrael li'ish v'isha b'chol mitzvahs. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give men and women the opportunity to do the opposite types of mitzvahs. How do you do that? I'm a man, I can't do a carbon yola this. Lachain hitbia, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it part of nature. She'isha she'eina m'chuyavetz b'mitzvahs asei she'ez ma'an grama. Women are potter from time-bound mitzvahs, she yehala chelek gadol behem. She should have a great chelek in the son. So her son mitzvahs are going to go back to her. V'lachein hi mazra tchila yoled the zachar. And a chelek shala b'zachar, her chelek, she has a greater portion in the son being born, it's going to be yoser mehar b'me'aish. That means she has a zechus in all her son's mitzvahs, helping compensate what she can't do. And the same goes true with a father. When he gives birth, it's going to be a daughter. He's attributed to the daughter, so she's going to fulfill all the women mitzvahs that he can't do. And that's the understanding of this Isha mazriah tchila yoledes zachar, Isha mazriah tchila yoledes nekeva. Number four on the top now, the Shemesh Shmuel says, explain what the carbon yoledes. The carbon yoledes, the woman has to bring a chatas and an ola. So he just has a very simple understanding why both the chatas and ola. This is very appropriate, certainly for those learning daf yomi and getting involved in the karbanos and zvachim. So he explains that yesh lefarish inyan carbon yoledes keves leola and a ben yona otor lechatas. Why do you have to bring an ola and a chatas? So he says, the chet of Adam HaRishon haya bekfalayim. They were double punishment Adam HaRishon did. Number one was hayah chet b'machshava. He had a chet in his thought process. Shehemina ledivrei hanachash. He believed what the nachash was saying. Min ha'etz achal b'ra es ha'olam. That if you eat from the tree, you can then create the world. So that's a pagam in the machshava. V'acharkach afterwards, maase v'tikach mipir yovetocha. Then there was a maase. Then he actually took the fruit. He took the whatever it was, a chita, a gefen, teina, whatever he ate. He did a maase there as well. So now the carbon yolendes, he kapara lechet shel Chava. Chava did the same thing, the similar avera. She also was a chote in machshava and also in maisa. Shemisham nimshach tzar haleda. Of course, every woman, part of the kalala from the Chava, was that they're going to go through the pain of birth and labor. So the tzar leda, umach mazeh kafs of nishba, because of the tzar leda that she takes the shvuah, I'm never going to go through this again. So this all connects back to the chet of Chava. Hanimshach mechet zeh tzricha ola, so therefore you need an ola. We already learned in Gemara and Zvachim, the ola is mechaperes al hirhur halev, and the chatas al hamaisa. So that's why you need both an ola and a chatas, an ola for the hira, the machshava, that chet, and the chatas for the maisa vera that took place with Adam and Chava. Okay, number five now is brought down from Maaseh Binyamin. Maaseh Binyamin, I don't know who he is. His name is Rav Eliyahu ben Binyamin Zev Wolf Reich. I don't know who he is. He was quoting the Satmar Rebbe, or maybe one of the Satmar Ravs. I don't know who he himself is.
What's the shaykhus between Yishash Yoledes and Adam Bechava?
That Yoledes, the whole idea of the Tzar Leda, came about because of Kilkul from Chava. So the Maaseh Binyamin explains, and now we're going to Mitzora, there's so much double parsha, there's so much going on. He wants to explain why Dafka do we place the oil on the thumb, on the ear, and on the big toe. So he explains that Mosa Shemen, which also came up in today's Daf, the leftover Shemen, we put out Tanuch Ozen on the ear. Why? Al Shishama, it's hard to read this, but Al Shishama Lashon Hara. The Mitzora, her Lashon Hara, we know that Mitzora Tzaras comes about because of Lashon Hara. So he heard Lashon Hara, so therefore we put the Shemen on the ear to remind them what he did wrong. Vim Tomer, if the guy is going to say, the Mitzor is going to justify and say, Halo Eina Surchan Tliyabi, it's not my fault. Anilo Alachti Etzlam, I didn't go to him, ask for some juicy gossip. Elohim Bo Eli, they came to me, they walked to me. So we say to him that Haboen Gam Al Boen Yado. So then we put it on his finger, his thumb. Why? What's the reason of the thumb? Because Shahaya Lo Lasos Kashir Dvar Hashem Laniach Etzbos of Be'oznav. He should put his finger in his ear so he shouldn't hear Leman Lo Yishma Divrayim. But the Gemara in Ksubis in the first paragraph asks the question, how come the finger is shaped like a yosed, like a peg? It starts thin on the top and gets wider in the bottom. The Gemara says, in order to stick your finger in your ear so you don't have to hear Lashon Hara. So the guy claims, they shouldn't come to me, you're right, but the issue is that if you stuck your fingers in your ear, this way you wouldn't hear it. So that's why first we put the oil on his ear, and then we put it on his finger. Then what about the toe? Huh?
That was the bow and it is the thumb.
Though. It just, that represents all the entire hand, I think. So then he says, and Ulai Tomer, maybe he's going to say, Shezos lohaya esalacha, I can't do that. They're going to make fun of me. If I stand there, they're talking, I go like this, they're going to start making fun of me. So Mishimata Osakein, Yisapko lecha kapayim, they're going to start clapping their hands, and they're going to, Viti elevation, Levosha, Luklima, I'm going to be, everyone's going to laugh at me. So then he says, Yitena Korina Bo and Ragl. So then places on the feet, on the toe, Legalus Leisha Telak or Ragl. You should have walked away. Walking away, wouldn't you say, I need to go to the bathroom. Someone's called me. I have an appointment to go to. So therefore, don't try to justify that you did the right thing. You didn't do the right thing. It's first start with your ear, then your fingers for not putting in the ear, and then for your feet for not running away from hearing the Lashon Hara. Okay, let's now move to the next page, number 6. The Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes is going in the Pasuk that we learn from Nigei Batim, that Nigei Batim, when they enter to Eretz Yisrael, you're supposed to look for Nigei Batim. And Rashi tells us it's a Besura Tova that when you knock down the walls of the house, you're going to find hidden treasures from the Kananim behind the walls or underneath the house. So asks the Sfas Emes, V'chi hayat tzarech habori yizbarech eila ha'etus, he needs these advice. Why did Kadosh Baruch Hu put in the mind of the Kananim to hide treasures in the walls? It's such a weird way of getting them some money. Kadosh Baruch Hu could have done it in a very different way. Why Dafka hide them behind the wall so Klai Yisrael knocks it down and then finds the treasure? So he says, Vadai guf ha'inyan nige batim gadalu osim ofis. There's something very deep and powerful in these this medrash of Rashi. Shemivin kedusha v'tara gabim akomos moshvesem. It's the whole idea is to bring kedusha not only in your house but everywhere you go. There's some type of hidden kedusha in everything that you do. The Sfas Emes explains that Bnei Yisrael kainasu shotziu Eretz Yisrael kanam yad hatuma. That when Klai Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael with Yeshua ben Nun, they first got rid of all the Kananim, they got rid of all the tuma, all the avodah zara. Then v'chnisu b'kedusha shenikra Eretz Yisrael. They called it Eretz Yisrael and gave it kedusha Yisrael. Then hishra habore yisbarach shechina so bebeis hamikdash, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested his shechina on the makom hamikdash. V'bechlal u'bechol meldecha, in all meldecha, the Gemara tells us all your mammon shetzrichen la'avi l'cha nisachim ha'ara kedusha. It's the whole idea of trying to bring the shechina, of trying to bring kedusha in everywhere you go. Because of that, because when they enter into Eretz Yisrael, it's about bring Kedusha to everything mundane and to elevate it. So too in the house, there's the idea of bringing up, elevating the Kedusha. V'zos HaBesura Tova says the Sfas Emes, sheyuchlu listaken kol mekomos gamkin. The idea was that Nigei Batim was just an example of an area where you could bring Kedusha, there being symbolized by the hidden treasure. It's supposed to be about bringing Kedusha, the house up to Kedusha, the Eretz Yisrael up to Kedusha. That's the whole idea. So I saw Rapam of Reading's biography now. Rapam says that his last drasha, the last shmooz he gave in Torah Das was 17 years from this week's Parshas Tazria Mitzora. And he was also quoting the same medrash. He wasn't quoting a Sfas Emes, but he said the whole idea of the Nigei Batim and finding the hidden treasure is every single person. He was a mechanech. He was a master mechanech. And he was telling a Rebbeim that every Rebbe has to find in their Talmud, because the Talmudim feel like they're Negat Saras. They feel like they have dirt all over them. They feel like they're nothing. But deep, hidden with inside every single Jew, every single child, every single Talmud is a special neshama with a certain koach and potential to accomplish so much. And that's what he thinks is very similar to the Sfas Emes, that there's a hidden treasure within every house, there's a hidden treasure within every single person. Okay, number 7 now. I found this in Otzer Plios HaTorah. Otzer Plios HaTorah is a wonderful sefer. I've used it before. You've seen it before? Heard me quote it before? Say interesting midrashim and shitas. A lot of interesting things. Yeah, he's a munkatra chassid. He just gathered, you know, over a number of years, he just put together different midrashim and rishonim and achronim. So just an interesting point. Yeah, I never heard this before, but he quotes from the rishonim here. It's not really question answer, but just something interesting to note, that b'sifrei rishonim zal, nikra parshazu b'shem zos tihiyah. It's not called mitzora, it's called zos tihiyah. That's the name of it. V'lo kefi shenog hayom lichnosa parsha mitzora. Not like we call today as parsha mitzora. What's the reason? So he explains, Ukanira Tam, the reason is Hadavar Humishum Shamar, the Gemara Chazal tells him Sakh Psachim Daf Gimel, Li Olam Yesapir Adam Belasha Nikia. Person should always speak in a very clean language. The Gemara proves this, that there's a place in the Torah, instead of saying Tumah, it says Behema Lotara. It's longer, but it's avoiding saying the word Tumah. Even though the Psukim say Tumah all the time, it shows one example, Lotara, just to say, if possible, a person should try to never speak negative, but always say it in a longer way to say something more positive. So I know Rebbeim, you know, you'll never hear like a Rav saying, I hate this. They'll say, I dislike it, I don't like it. It's a much nicer way than saying, I hate something, or I don't love something. Okay, then he says, further in this paragraph, he says, Amnam hachida mechana b'sifrav parshas u'b'shem parshas tahara. He calls it parshas tahara. And u'b'kvosav halcha oda harbe achronim, many achronim followed the chidon, calling it parshas tahara. And it's similar to matinu etachachme, I'm not sure what that says, Ari Tzotova in Syria, shakar parshas u'b'shem parshas tahara. Fine. So we have that either it's called Parshas Tohar or Parshas Taros or Zos Tiyah. So we find the same thing. If you look at the continuing paragraph here, that's the next page, same page as we have here. Umin Haroy, let's sign it. It's important to quote the Rambam, Bakdamasol, Perisha Mishnayos, or Mesechas Taros. Vizeloshono, says the Rambam. Kara also Taros. Why is the Seder called Taros? Lashon Nikia, says the Rambam. To speak in a nicer language, a cleaner language. Kiba, not sure. It says bedine. It's really myri bedine tumah. So it's really talking about tumah. It's talking about nigaim. It's talking about zav. It's talking about all these tumah. So why is it called safer to say their taros? The idea is we always try to speak b'lashon nikiyah. So too. That's why the rishonim and achronim call this parshas mitzora as zos tiyah or parshas tara. Parshas taros. So yeah, the same idea. Same idea. Exactly. Okay, let's look now at the Mor v'Shemesh. The Mor v'Shemesh, you could skip the first couple lines I underline, but go to where it says Yesh Lomar Hatam, the underline here. He's discussing why are red and white, why are those the colors, that white is representative of something that's Tameh, and red is something that's Tahor. You would think normally it's the opposite. Normally white, when the red string Yom Kippur turns white, that means clean. So he explains, Yesh Lomar Hatam, Iker Chiyos Ha'adam Hu Adam. A person's life source is really blood, ki adam hua nefesh. When there's blood, that means a person's alive. There's chiyas to him. And kol hamalbin, anyone who whitens, which we know means to embarrass. Kol hamalbin pnei chavero, hu gam kein machmas sheno temimenu achiyus shalo. When a person removes the life, he embarrasses someone, the red leaves the face and he turns white as a ghost. She'ozil sumka, the Gemara says, the redness goes, v'yasa chivar, and the white comes. So the redness represents life, chiyas, and whiteness, white, represents the lack of dam, the lack of life. So mikan anu lemedim, from here we can learn, shal lav nunis ba'adam mara histalkus achias. White represents the lack of life. Umimela, kishayelech mi'adam achias, when a person loses a life, chias, hu nikra tame kiadua. We know the avi avos atuma, what's the father of all tumos? Tumas meis. So all types of tumas, to a certain extent, have some level of tumas meis to it. So for example, a yoledis. Why is Yoledis Tamei? So the Mefarshim will explain, because since the mother lost a child, and the child, of course, is Baruch Hashem alive, but it's no longer in her body anymore, so she lost some level of Chiyas, so that's why there's Tumas Yoledis. How come a woman, when she's in Nida, she's Tamei? Because each time she doesn't become pregnant, that Nida is a potential of life, that she could have become pregnant, and she didn't, so that's some level of Tumas Meis. So I think all Tumas somehow flow from Tumas Meis. So we see now that whenever there's a redness leaves, when the it's white, it's a lack of indicates something that's tamei. Akein kishin istalik kol achias nikra avi avos atuma. When all life leaves, it's called the father of tumas, namely tumas meis. Umimela, kishayelech miktas chias, when a little bit leaves, not all of it, but a little bit leaves, gam kin tame, so one's also tame. So now the right side, now it's a little bit, the right column here, it's the continuation on that same page still. Vim adam holech bekadusha, umizakech atzma ohein basiyas hamitzah. When a person strengthens himself, he does the right thing and does kadusha, whether it's doing mitzvahs, or be'esek Torah of a tefillah, whether it's learning or davening, azai panim mativos, he becomes bright. He has color in his face. His face is shining. Shinir b'fanav adam mimos, you see the blood, the freshness in his body, in his face. Machma shinis gal b'fanav kedushas nafsho. So red dam represents life, and lavan represents white, represents death and then lack of chias. Okay, number nine. Number nine is found in the Sefer Or Chadash. I'm not sure if you heard of him before, Rav Zaitchik, or Weimar, he's quoted Rav Zaitchik before, his amazing darshan. So he just has a very nice yesod here. What? Yeah. So Rav Zaitchik says, his svarim, just like such an obvious point that you didn't notice, but once he says it, it becomes really so obvious and you like kick yourself, why you didn't think of this? What?
Russian?
I'm not sure what his background is.
Zaitchik in Russian means a rabbit.
Yeah, does it? Okay, I don't know Russian, and I don't know.
I read
Okay, yeah. Okay, so Rav Zaitchik, he says number nine. Ubayom haros bo basar chai yitma. We know the day that the Kohen looks at it, he can only look at the negatras during the daytime. So the Mishnah learned mikan amru that not every single day you look at it. There's a day that you look at it, and sometimes the Kohen has to ignore it and not look at it. Mikan amru the chasan nosin lo kol shivas yimei mishta. If a chasan has negatras, the Kohen looks at it. He ignores it and waits until the shivas yimei mishta are over, and then he'll look at it afterwards. You could completely ignore this. So says Rav Zaitchik, limun gadol novelano. There's an amazing lesson learned from this point here. Hametzora chote. We know the metzora. A guy who's got negatras, he did something wrong. What did he do wrong? Shehaya malshin. He spoke bad about someone else. Motzi diba, he spoke lashon hara. Umatil eva bein habrios, he now started creating all these fighting amongst friends, amongst Jews. Halo sanoi ubazoi umisoa va'eta habrios. Now this guy who's got tzaras, everyone despises him because he's trying to create factions and fighting. Yodim osa ish bal nega. Everyone knows that this person with tzaras. Everyone knows the chasan now, who's got this big white patch on his hand. We know that he spoke lashon hara, and just a few days from now, he's going to be sent out of the three camps all by himself because he did something terrible. Despite all this, despite all that, we let him go to the chuppah. Now imagine what's going on in his mind right now. He's going to the chuppah knowing that in 4 days from today he's being sent out of the three camps. Nosin lo kol shivas yimei mishta. We give him a full 7 days of shiva brachos. And yet, orchim umizumanim, those who are invited and all the guests, yotzim ubam, they come to the wedding anyways, even though they know the guy is a rasha. Mivin matanos umisangin, they bring gifts. They eat with him, they have a whole suda, they dance. Mifarin, Mishabachin, Mimodidin, Lachaim, Chadashim, Murakhtin, the front, they dance in front of him, Mechabachin, Menashkin, they kiss him, they hug him. The Koshkein, Shalosa, certainly, Koshkein, in the next paragraph, Lo Yitzarenu, we shouldn't cause him any discomfort, any trouble. Hasimcha, Mitis, Hulamis, Rigshe, Eva, Ubuz. Inside this celebration, everyone knows, now the elephant in the room is this guy's Baal Lashon Hara. Why are we happy? Why are we celebrating with him? We see from all this, though, that we have to yalimu ayin, close our eyes, turn away, v'yashkichu etz atman mikol chesronosov shalachasin danan, to forget all his shortcomings, v'lo laharer kol v'klal v'chol mergrosov v'norosov, to ignore all the different shortcomings of this individual, this chasim. So how much more so when it comes to other people where their chesronos are not as obvious? So for the chasm, we're willing to forego all the different chesronas and all the things he tried doing, and yet to celebrate with him, how much more so, even though we know everyone's got shortcomings, and sometimes they're so obvious what people's shortcomings are, how much more so, says Rav Zaitchik, should we ignore them and be able to be mishameach a person, not only in a chasna, but just in the terms of the way that we treat with them, the way that we deal with them. Okay, the final one, number 10, is found in this Likud Sefer I have on Al Torah. It's called Otzer Chaim. Interesting things that from all different places that he quotes. So this is an interesting piece he quotes from the Baal Seichel Yadua. I don't know who that is. So he says, he points out that in Parshas Metzora, we see the word Toras Ksivas B'Metzora. It says the word Toros five different times in Parshas Metzora. Pay attention to the Shabbos, I guess. Why five times did it say Toros? L'lamedecha shekol ha'omer lashon hara over b'chamisha chomshe Torah. Pretty severe. Those who speak lashon hara violate all five books of the Torah. So he says that there are really chamisha suge lashon hara yesham. There are really five categories of lashon hara. V'chol echad mehem mevuar la'atzmo be'echad mechameshes chumshe Torah. Each one, each category is explained in a different event as he's about to go through in the five books of the Torah. Now, to be honest, when I went through this, I didn't see five different categories. Some of them he's explained, some he doesn't. So I don't know how these categories are created, but we do at least see there are five events of Lashon Hara in each of the five books. What the categories are, I'll leave for you to figure out. I'm not entirely sure why they're different than the other ones. But he says, number one, Aleph. In Sefer Bereishis, we find Bibanov Sheyakov with Yosef, who spoke bad about the brothers, as we know. Dibasan Ra Shel Ha'achim, he spoke to their father. Kavanas Latova. So this is the type of Lashon Hara where your intent was good. There was a certain Toelis. We know that Lashon Hara is permitted sometimes when there's a certain Toelis. It comes up oftentimes when for a Shidduch, writing a Shidduch, that could be a situation where Latova, Lashon Hara, might be permitted. Ella Shibicholze, despite the fact that there was a good intention, still, what's the word I'm looking for? Can't read it. I don't know the word is, but Gullus Ayakov Avonovic caused Gullus to Yaakov Bnei Yisrael. Everyone got sent down because of this Lashon Hara. So, Kach Tivel Shel Lashon Hara, that's the nature of Lashon Hara. B'tchila, in the beginning, Nira, he Ki'ilu Yesh Mitzvah. Kach, first a person thinks he's like saving the world. He's a hero. I'm going to tell the Lashon Hara to save someone from doing something wrong. That's how the Yetar really gets you. That's one type of Lashon Hara where it tricks you to think you're doing something good. Beis. The second example is found in Sefer Shmos, where Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, "Sheyelech lahotzi et Yisrael miMitzrayim." He will want to appoint you to be the leader to take Klai Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Moshe, it says, "Vehein lo yaminu li." They're not going to believe me. So that too is lashon hara, speaking about Am Yisrael. And lachay nenash velo zachal lahachnis as bnei Yisrael artzam. According to at least one statement in Chazal, this was the reason why Moshe wasn't led to Eretz Yisrael. We typically think it's because of the Mei Meriva, because of the hitting of the rock, but it's really not the case according to this Medrash, because he spoke Lashon Hara about Am Yisrael. So that's Sefer Shmos. Oz Gimel, Sefer Vayikra, what's the instance? It talks about the Isser of Rechilus. There's no real event here, but it talks about, Vayikra has no stories in it, but it talks about the Isser of Rechilus. What's Rechilus? Rechilus is gossip. So he says, Lahavir Rechilus me askan zel askan plin ploni. To tell this guy, you hear the guys in the street, you hear what happened, you tell that guy, you hear what that guy did, what that girl did. It's just Rechilus. Lelo metaro machshav, without any thinking, without any goal, just to speak, just to gossip, that's it. Rak kedei lesafek es yeter hadabronis v'machlokes. The only reason why a person gossips is because he has a certain taiva. There's no toelis in this. Yosef had a toelis. He thought he was doing the good thing. He was wrong, but at least he had a goal in mind. Moshe Beinu thought he was speaking the emes. He was saying what he thought was going to happen. But the person who speaks rechilus, there's no toelis. All it is a personal taiva. People just want to be the source and the ownership of all information. That's a different type of lashon hara found in Sefer Vayikra. Os Dalad, Sefer Bamidbar, is Hamiraglin, as we know, spoke about Lashon Hara of the Eretz Yisrael. I guess that's about speaking about inanimate objects also would be included in Lashon Hara. And the fifth and final one is Os Hay in Sefer Dvarim, is Lashon Hara HaMishpachti, speaking within a family. And that's, of course, with Miriam about Moshe Benu. That's the fifth category. So we see from all... First one is
speaking about a specific person. He just said about Klal Yisrael, not listen to me.
About an Am, about a nation.
Even as speaking about an individual person, I'm not saying, Eleven did this or did this. I say the Jewish people. Or
I see. So one's an individual, one's a nation, one's a land, one's a family, and the Rechilus in there just about it's a certain type, a personal type, without any to us. Okay. But it could be more. But
what was the difference between Aleph and Beis?
Seth's suggesting that first one, individual versus a nation. Who you're speaking about. Okay, that's, I guess, a chilah. Okay, I guess we'll stop here. Looks like there won't be a marv.